Good morning. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 10, and we'll continue our study here. Again, the emphasis is looking at what Luke has written for us as recorded the history of the early church. And as we examine this, we can look at it as evidence of those things that took place. Each of us is going to have to make an important decision in our lives. How are we going to live our lives each day? And we have that choice. We're going to live for ourselves or we're going to live for God. That's the choice you have, and it's pretty simple. And here, as Peter is about to preach the good news to the Gentiles for the first time. Now, the gospel has been preached in Jerusalem, Samaria. It's been preached to the Jews, to those who were also proselytes. But God commanded them to preach to every creature. Now, we as Christians today have that same responsibility. That is for people to hear the good news about Jesus Christ. Is it good news? Yes, it is. Now, I'm a couple years old now. And as I look back, life goes by like this. It goes by so quickly. And it seems the older you get, the quicker it goes. So we need to make sure that we reflect upon our existence in this world today. And we need to reflect upon what's going to happen when we breathe our last breath. Is that important, what's going to happen to you? Yes, it is. So as we reflect upon that today, let's listen to these things and let's examine Peter. Was Peter always doing what was right before God? Did he always do the right thing? No, he didn't. He denied the Lord how many times? Three that we have recorded. And the Lord Jesus told him he was going to do it. What Peter said, I will never deny you. He had a zeal for the Lord, but when the time came, that's exactly what he did. He denied the Lord. Now, in our own lives today, every time we disobey God, what are we doing? We're doing the same thing. We're denying the Lord. In Acts chapter 10, verse 33, here Peter is speaking to those who have sent for him. God gave them specific instructions. Send for this individual. He's going to come. He's going to tell you what you must do. Now, that applies to us today. We have God's word, and God's word tells us exactly what we must do. From Genesis chapter 1 all the way through the end of the book of Revelation. Specific instructions for each of us. In verse 33, Cornelius said, so I sent to you immediately, and you've done well to come. Now, therefore, we are present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. And I emphasized last week, they wanted to hear what God had commanded them to do. As Christians today, do we have commandments that we are to obey? Yes, we do. And here's something that might be troubling for those who have not obeyed the gospel. Those same commandments apply to you. God has given you specific instructions. There's no excuse. You're going to stand before God someday. You're going to be judged by every word, every deed, every thought. And if you don't meet God's requirements, his conditions, you are going to be condemned forever. And that's a hard thing to consider. So here, I love the attitude Cornelius had. Cornelius wanted to hear God's commandments. He sent for him immediately. He didn't wait around. And that's the attitude we need to have. What does God expect of me? What does God want me to do? Verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth. In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Now, Peter had to have a change in his understanding. And God provided that for him. He had a vision. And in that vision, God provided to him to see that God said, there's nothing unclean. He had to change his thinking. He was willing to go to the Jews, the Samaritans, the proselytes to preach the gospel, but they had not yet preached the gospel to the Gentiles. Because as they were growing up, as they were taught in the old system, they were not to have anything to do with them. If they did, they became unclean. So Peter has now to learn what God wants him to do. Things have changed for him. He's now under a new covenant. The covenant that Jesus Christ died for on that cross. Do we live under that covenant today? Yes, we do. Jesus Christ is Lord and Master. He's King of Kings. He's sitting now at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. And he's going to judge who? The living and the dead. So we need to be prepared for that. So again, he says, all who fear him and work righteousness shall be accepted by him. And then Peter goes on to explain to him what he's there for. What God has done through his son Jesus. And I'm going to tell you right now, that is the heart of God's word. Jesus Christ, who he is. He's fulfilled all scripture. And you can look at the Old Testament, look at every scripture pertaining to the Messiah. Jesus has fulfilled it. Now, Peter is saying, we are eyewitnesses to these things. And I'm not the only one who's an eyewitness. There are hundreds of others. You can talk with them. They will tell you the same thing. And not only that, Peter can confirm by the power of the Holy Spirit the things that he speaks are true. Now, I want you to imagine for just a moment the courage that Peter had. In verse 42, he says, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. He's testifying here about Jesus. He is the one who's going to be the judge of the living and dead. Now I want to ask you a question. Is being a Christian a part-time job? Is it something that we do once a week on a Sunday when we gather together on our Bible class or we have a study? Is that all it is? No, it's not. Being a Christian, what is it, 24/7? I forget how to say it. Every day, every hour, every minute, we dedicate our lives to Christ. Now, I know from a little bit of experience, that can be difficult. Some of you here are a little bit younger than me. Got kids still. My kids are grown up and gone. I remember how difficult it was. You're working every day. You come home, you maybe get to see the kids a little bit before they go to bed. And you're tired when you get home. Where is God in the picture? Let me ask that question again. Where is God in the picture? You need to put God in the picture. Thanking God, being completely dependent upon him, praying to God continually for everything that happens. Turn to him in prayer. In verse 43, to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. So here Peter's going to be preaching the same message. Has the message changed since the time of Peter? The message has not changed. The message is the same. Now what has happened over time is people will twist and bend and say, you don't need to do this and this is not important and God didn't say that. You get all kinds of different versions today. But how many churches are there? According to God's word. How many churches? One. How many faiths? One. So again, we turn to God's word for these different things. Let's turn now to Acts chapter 4. Because he's a witness. And today we need to do exactly the same thing. We need to be witnesses, no matter what the situation is. Now, should you witness to your family? Should you witness to your friends? Yes, you should. Now, Peter is here shortly after Pentecost in Acts chapter 4 and verse 2. And they're preaching the word to those who are gathered there. And this caused a problem. Look at verse 2. The Sadducees, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection of the dead, they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, until it was evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. Was God's message being spread in Jerusalem? Yes. But there were those who didn't like what was being said. They did not want Jesus to be preached. And they laid hands on them. They put them in prison. Does that happen today? Yes, it does. Verse 5, it came to pass on the next day that rulers and elders and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and as many of them were the family of the high priest, were gathered together. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, by what power or by what name have you done this? They're asking, who gave you the authority? Why are you doing this? Now, I don't think they didn't have a clue about the answer Peter was going to give them. And look what Peter does, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he's been made known well, let it be made known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, and by this man stands here before you whole. Who's he testifying about? About Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Jesus said it himself, I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the answer. And today many people are seeking answers for difficulties they're having in life. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not naive. I've looked at a lot of the answers the world presents to people. And I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of the answers that the world presents to people to solve their problems is not based on what? Is not based on God's word. So we need to identify the problem. And he's telling them, this Jesus Christ you have crucified. And I'm going to tell you right now, as we live today, every time we sin, what are we doing in essence? We're crucifying him, aren't we? Every time we sin. And we need to acknowledge that. We have a choice. Look at verse 12 in Acts 4 here. There is no salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Peter expressed it boldly right before the Sanhedrin and all those who were there. Was he afraid of what was going to happen to him? No, he wasn't afraid. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Why was he not afraid? Why? He knew it was true. He knew that Jesus had resurrected from the dead. He knew that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And he knew that he was going to keep every promise he had. Now let me ask you a question. Do you know those same things today? Do you know that Jesus Christ is the Messiah? That Jesus Christ died on that cross for you? That Jesus Christ is coming again? And that we're going to be judged by every word, every deed, every thought that we have done in this life. He knew it, and we're supposed to know it too. There's no salvation in any other name. But look at verse 13. And again, I'm trying to emphasize that Peter, as we're looking at Acts 10, he's in the household of Cornelius. And he's speaking with the same conviction, the same understanding. When Peter preaches the word, he is obeying the Lord. Is he doing it because he hates people? He's disgusted with people? He's angry with people? No, why does he do it? He loves the Lord God with all his heart, his soul, and mind, and he loves his neighbor as what? As himself. He's doing it out of love. So when we preach the word, when we point people to God's word, we're doing it out of love. God is what? God is love. So those things that mean something to us, important to us, one of the most important things is understanding God's love for you and that you need to have that love for God. I believe Peter had that as he stood there. He already put him in prison. They crucified the Lord not too much earlier. Could they do something to him? Yes. But he'd rather obey God than who? Than man, as we're going to see that here shortly. And look at 13. They saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men. They marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Was the evidence overwhelming about what Peter was saying? Yes. And they knew it. They couldn't say anything to refute the things that they were saying. What Peter was saying was true. And here's a man right there who had been healed by them. By the power of who? The Holy Spirit, the power of God. They're witness to a miracle. They know that the things that Peter testifies is true. They could not argue against it. They could say nothing against it. Verse 16. What shall we do to these men? For indeed there is notable miracles been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. And there might be someone sitting here today, I don't know all your hearts, your minds, who has not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about that for a moment, because if you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, what God has commanded you to do, you are being disobedient to who? To God. And all those who are disobedient to God are serving who? The enemy. The one who wants to destroy your soul. That's the choice that we have. So again, in verse 16, it's evident to all, and we cannot deny it. I'm going to say to you right now, anybody here who has not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you study the word, if you look at the evidence, you're going to find undeniably that the evidence is overwhelming that the scriptures are true. And I've stated this many times. I'm a scientist, research physicist. I obeyed the gospel. And the first thing I had to do was research the Bible to see if it's true. And I can tell you from all the evidence I've looked at, and I'm not stupid, all the evidence I've looked at, it's overwhelming that what we have written here is true. And if this is true, that means I need to do what? I need to study the scriptures to make sure I know them and I'm obedient to them. Now look at 17, because this is what Satan wants. He doesn't want the good news to get out there. He doesn't want people to hear it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. They wanted them to shut up. They didn't want this to continue to spread. Now look at the response, verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Did Peter have a zeal to preach? Was he completely committed to God no matter what? Yes, he was. Now let's go back to Acts chapter 10. Because now he's in the household of Cornelius. These are Gentiles. And they're going to hear the message for the first time. Again, verse 43, Peter is saying, to him and all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Whoever believes in him. Now that word belief there has a big meaning here. It just doesn't mean believe like you believe there's no Santa Claus. Oh, sorry. Believing involves a lot of things in the scriptures. Believing involves a lot of things. Believing in his or through his name. Because what that implies is that we need to be completely obedient to all the things that God has commanded us to do. If you are completely obedient to God, then you will receive what? Remission of sins. And that's important. Now look at verse 44, because Peter's speaking, household of Cornelius. While Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Now I want you to imagine, I don't know how many people were there, but there was more than a few. The Holy Spirit falls upon them all. Now there's a reason for this. In Acts chapter 2, when Peter and the other disciples preached the gospel for the first time, the Holy Spirit had fallen upon the apostles. They received the promise that God had given them when they were in Jerusalem. They preached the word. They spoke in languages that they'd never learned, but other people in other people's tongues, so they could understand what they were saying. A miracle happened on that day, a demonstration of the power of God. And now as Peter's speaking to these Gentiles, Peter is seeing a sign, isn't he? This is God's will. That the gospel goes to everyone in the world. The good news. If we remember earlier, was Peter there all by himself? Did he come all by himself? No. Some of the others came with him. And they're there for a purpose because they also are witnessing what's taking place. And we're going to see later that those witnesses, when they go back, because Peter's going to be attacked. Why did you preach to the Gentiles? They're cursed. They're unclean. But Peter's there with other witnesses who are witnessing these things. When they come back, now they can talk about what took place. And it was God's will that this be done. They needed that kind of evidence too. And that tells us right here, look at verse 45. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. And they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then Peter answered. Again, we're looking at this in very detail because today when we speak to people about the good news of Jesus Christ, we need to point out to them what the good news of Jesus Christ is. Are there a lot of lies out there? Yes, there are. There's a lot of false teachings out there. Yes, there is. So the only place that we can point them is to God's word because then they can read it for themselves. And again, I've explained to you how I became a Christian. I was of a different faith. I truly believed I was right before God. With all my heart, I thought I was doing what God wanted me to do. But then guess what happened? I started to read the Bible for the first time in my life. And when I read the Bible, I realized that's not what I was taught. And if I was taught something that's not in the Bible, is that a truth or a lie? What is it? It's a lie. And once it hit me that what I had been taught was a lie, and then I started to research that particular faith for the first time, to study about it. Where did those ideas come from? Where did those teachings come from? Did they come from the Bible? No. They came from different people who wrote things, or different groups of people came together and voted on things. If we vote on something here, does that mean it's going to be right? Does the majority always rule when it comes to what we believe or what God wants us to do? No. But that was what my faith at that time was based on. Teachings of different people over thousands of years, hundreds of years. And those teachings were absolutely false. But they were taught to me as a child as being what? Gregory, this is how it is. You know, God wants you to do this. And I'm being a little boy, okay, I'll do that. And as you're growing up, you're being taught that as a child. Now, my parents, I know, had good intent. You think my parents loved me? I hope they did. I'm pretty sure they did. And they were just teaching me what they had been taught in all good conscience. So again, just because your parents introduce you to something and you live that way and learn that way, does that make it right? No, it doesn't. Your parents can be wrong. They can still love you. They can be sincere, but they could be wrong in what they're teaching. They're teaching you out of love. They love you. They want the best for you. Paul can be a good example. Was Paul always faithful to Jesus? No. He was consenting unto the death of who? Stephen. He went and hunted down Christians and brought them to be questioned, brought them to be imprisoned, and brought them to be beaten and put to death. He did it in all good what? All good conscience. He thought he was serving God when he did that. He was sincere. He loved God. He wanted to do God's will. But he was sincerely what? He was sincerely wrong. And the wonderful thing about Paul, when he came to know the truth, what did he do? He repented and he changed. He did what God commanded him to do. We're running out of time here, but we're still looking at the book of Acts. So I'm going to stop here and ask this question. You might be sitting here today. You might think you are sincerely serving God. But when you examine what you believe and where you got it from, and you compare it to God's word, if it doesn't agree with God's word, then you need to change your life. You need to do that. And I'm going to tell you right now, don't put it off until tomorrow. Why should you not put it off till tomorrow? You might not live till tomorrow. Do it when? Right now. Right now. If you're here this morning, you've not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. What I love about the gospel, it's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. And it hasn't changed since it was first preached. When they were convicted of their sin, they asked the question, what do we do? And Peter gave the same answer. What did Peter say? Repent and what? Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. When Philip came to the Ethiopian eunuch was reading the Bible, the Old Testament, book of Isaiah. He didn't understand it. Philip came up to him. Can you explain to me? Sure. And how did he explain it to him? The Bible says he preached what? He preached Christ to him. And the King James Version, in the very next verse, the Ethiopian eunuch says, see, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? He said, nothing, if you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is on earth. Don't put off to tomorrow what you can do today. There might not be any tomorrow. There might not be any tomorrow. Do it now. Do it now. So if you're here this morning, you've not yet obeyed the gospel. If you need the prayers of this congregation, please come forward now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.